Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. This series will be shorts about my daily life, about 10 minutes or so, and I'm going to explore some ideas with you that I am currently working with. My name is Paul Harvey and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips, how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business Shorts. The one thing about being on the host on this show is that you get to hear little bits about me. And of course that's right, because the podcast was set up to explore the lives of guests, not me. But I am finding I have more to say on subjects and there is no space within a podcast interview or intro or outro to add those kind of bits. And it's my podcast, so I can do what I like. So it's time to share some of those little bits more about my daily activities. And if you're listening to this podcast, this show, you must have good taste in podcasts, but you must also be looking for answers. And at the end of the day, this is an experiment, a life experiment for all of us. And I thought I'd explore the bits that are working. But here's the thing. We all want the secret. Somehow the secret to shortcut to the goal. Now I get it, you're busy, we're all busy, we all want to know how we can make the changes in our life now. I have some news for you. I'm 55 years old and I don't know how old you are, but I'm sure you do. It has taken me 55 years to mature and to get to this point. So there is never going to be anything that I could do in 15 minutes that's going to undo all of that stuff that I spent 55 years creating. But here's the amazing thing. People think there is a secret, a shortcut to get to the place they want to go that doesn't require work. Now I understand, I understand that people want to find this secret. Because, if I could just find this secret, it will all be okay. And while I believe in the secret as well, and I'll get to that in a minute, I also recognise in other parts of my life where it's blindingly obvious there isn't one. So I'm a digital marketer. And my bread and butter is I sort out those digital bits and pieces for people. But the one thing I notice is a lot of people are searching for that secret source. They want the source that will make the difference in their world, that will bring them unlimited sales and perfect sales pitches or perfect clients. And that doesn't take any time or cost any money. And the reality is that's never going to happen. Now, in some ways, I've been doing this as well, because after all, my podcast asks people a series of questions about what's the secret of life. I am looking for the secret sauce just as much as the next person. So let's settle this once and for all. Guess what? There is no secret. So what is the secret when there isn't one? What I can tell you is it's about consistency. And I've said it before in other places, life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Business is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You have to be in this for the long game. So if you want to change who you are or what you're doing or bring change to your life, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's something that's going to take work. So I will be producing these little short podcasts over the next few weeks or as I have time, covering different aspects of my life. And today I wanted to talk about morning routines. There is something about starting the morning with success or okay, success is a strange word to use considering where we come from, but starting the morning with wins or achievements, things that you can tick off the list. Because when you start the day with something that I did that bit, you're already winning on the day. And I've been aware of that for years, that kind of idea of getting somewhere first thing. Now, when I first moved to Scotland 14 years ago, one of the big things that was part of my move here was to be an active father and to take up a lot of those daily routines of looking after my son and being probably his primary carer. I became a kind of stay-at-home father. And so the morning routine has always been about prepping and getting my son ready to school. Now, I know parents out there will know, understand this thing. You know, it is getting young children moving in the morning is definitely herding a cat. And, you know, that has gone on for years. And so my morning routines in prior to my teenager, prior to the teenage years, were very much around that process of herding. So there wasn't much of a morning routine until that process had been completed. So I would say, morning routine as a parent, I think it's quite a challenge, but I don't think it's impossible. But having been there, I would understand it if you'd kind of go, this is not going to happen for me. So I don't know what to say. I said he gurning at the microphone there. Okay, so I guess started my first morning routines in around 2012. I guess at that time, there was more space in my day to do so. My son was more independent. And at the time, I was involved with an organisation. I was marketing for an organisation that was a retreat centre for Qigong. And there are lots of morning routines around Qigong, particularly, well, there are daily routines around that practice. And the morning routine is slapping. And if you've ever been to China or seen film footage in China, you'll see people often by the river slapping their bodies in the morning as they come out to do Qigong. And this slapping process starts at the feet and you work up the body. And the idea is you slap your body as hard as you can. Both legs, your backside, the front, right the way up your back, your arms and your head. And what it does is it gets the blood flow moving. It stimulates the body. And they would say, I think it stimulates the adrenal glands and that sort of stuff to kind of release toxins that have become embedded while you're sleeping. So there's a lot of kind of positives to that kind of thing. And it's amazing. I remember I used to do it in the garden and I remember closing my eyes. And when you close your eyes in normal kind of light or low levels of light, you get that kind of darkness as you close your eyes. When you do the slapping process, what I noticed is that the brightness in my eyes would increase. And what was interesting, when I opened my eyes, the light outside hadn't got any brighter. And so my sense of it was that the oxygenated blood passing through my eyes or passing through my eyelids or wherever had actually made the vision or maybe it made my perception of brightness stronger. So that was a very energizing kind of morning routine. And I used to do a little bit of journaling straight after that one, I think. And that worked for a while. It worked quite well for a while. And I probably did slapping for a couple of years. And I didn't do it on a everyday basis. I think I probably did it most days, and I think kind of weekends and things I probably went around the house or things probably didn't do it so often. And it was a working process, but for some reason, and I don't know why, I ended up stopping slapping and I've never really gone back to it. I kept going with the journaling for quite a few years. So I would get up with a book and, you know, do the ablutions to get up in the morning and then sit down in the living room with a notepad and I would journal. And at the time, my mental place wasn't that great. I was going through various stuff, as we do, and although I've never been someone that would be called severely depressed, I think I have spent a number of years in a low state of depression. And I wouldn't have called it, I never went to any get any support with it, but it was never something that I was not happy. I think I wouldn't have called it depression. I would have called it a lack of happiness, maybe. And I found the journaling wasn't supporting this at all, because it would become like a place where I would just constantly moan and whinge in this journal, and it wasn't supporting me at all. So eventually I stopped journaling altogether. I kind of returned to journaling a bit in 2017 when I got myself one of those kind of life journal things for getting the day organized. And I just picked it up and I had a look through it now. And in actual fact, it's not really journaling. I think it's more of a daily process for committing to the day, what you're actually going to do with the day. And I don't remember much about it, to be honest. I'm not sure how valuable it was at the time. Certainly this year, I've had a couple of morning processes, and part of that has been exercise. I've been running a lot. So when I started running in April, I started running in the morning when I got back to Forest, because I was away for quite a significant amount of this year on another project. And when I came back to Forest, I started running in the mornings. And so that took away a lot of opportunity to do a morning routine other than just physical exercise. But I have to say, running in the sunshine in the early morning was absolutely fantastic. And we'll come to running in another podcast, I think. But certainly that was a great period of time. When I wasn't running, because I didn't run every day, I started doing a process called Wim Hof. And you can look up Wim Hof online. It's a whole practice this guy does. And I haven't explored it that much. I only heard about it from someone else. But basically what Wim Hof is it's a breathing exercise. It's about basically deep breathing so that you hyperventilate. So that is lying on your back with your knees folded up so that so your legs are folded, with your feet on the ground, your legs folded. You then put your hands on your stomach, and so you kind of have a sense of the breathing. And then you breathe in really, really deep, like full in and full out, straight in, that kind of thing. And you do that for 30. And then you stop and do some kind of physical exercise. I tend to turn over and do press-ups, holding your breath. And then when you need to breathe, you're back on your back and you do another 30. And then you do another set of exercise. And then when you're back on you, then you go back on your back and do another 30. And I did Wim Hof for quite a while. And I would then go and kind of write up my day for a bit. And that kind of worked. It certainly was. The thing about the Wim Hof is it absolutely floods the body with oxygen. And it really, really wakes you up. So that's what's quite good about it. I think I started going into meditation straight out of Wim Hof. Now, what I discovered there was as the oxygen levels in my brain started to drop, you kind of get this lightheadedness as you're kind of fully oxygenated. And by sitting in a meditation state, what that would do is it would kind of drop the relaxation. You force your body into a very relaxed place. So I would go into meditation doing a breathing meditation where I was becoming conscious of the in and out breaths. And so my breathing was returning to normal, and this was actually very deep meditation. And I would meditate for about 10 or 15 minutes in this state, and it was quite powerful stuff. Although I do struggle with meditation when my mind does wander, and I give my mind permission to wander, because I recognize if I try and clamp it down, it doesn't really help. So I go to the breathing, stick with the breathing, go off on the journey somewhere, come back to the breathing, and then I come back and go off on the journey somewhere. And then, so some days meditation is a disaster. I end up kind of thinking about the day, and so eventually I go, no, this is not working. So that's work in progress, the meditation. And then this year, or later, this in the last couple of months, there has been a shift. And it has been quite a seismic shift, really. and I'll explain why. So I've been working with Lisa Avery. We're building this leadership program that we will be releasing probably in the new, obviously in the new year now. And we were talking about various exercises that, that people do or that, that can be done in order to bring people to a place of creativity or to experience stuff. And I remembered a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And it's all about recovering your creativity. And one of the basic tools to use in this is a thing called morning pages. And I'm going to read this to you because I think it's actually worth hearing this. In order to retrieve your creativity, you need to find it. I ask you to do this by an apparently pointless process that I call morning pages. You will do the pages daily through all the weeks of this course, and I hope much longer. I have been doing them for a decade now, and I have students who have worked with them nearly that long who would no more abandon them than they would abandon breathing. And I have to say, so morning pages are done every single day, and it's 3 pages of writing, of which you do as soon as you get out of bed. And I committed to doing these pages for 7 days, not the 30 days that this book requires, as an experiment. And the way you do morning pages, as I said, is you get up. So I get up, I have a pee, I have a drink, and I come and sit at my desk and I get this, just a simple book out and a pen, and I start writing. And with morning pages, there is no wrong way to do this. The only proviso, the only thing you have to do is keep the pen moving. It mustn't stop. Now, I'm a bit more relaxed about it now, but I still keep going. And even if I don't know what to write, and even if you don't know what to write, you just say, I don't know what to write. You basically keep going. Even if it's, I hate these effing pages, you keep going. The whole idea behind the thing is that you write what you write, even if it's total garbage, and it probably will be, but your inner critic can have no input into what's going on because there are no rules. Now, here's the thing which is amazing about morning pages. As you do this, the first page tends to be a pile of tosh. It will literally be the clearing of the throat. It will be the clearing of the writing mind. And then page 2, some sort of form might appear. And sometimes it might not. And what I've discovered is that by about the middle of page 2, suddenly an idea might come out of nowhere. And it's like, where did that come from? And it's just like, it is absolutely startlingly amazing how amazing these morning pages are. So I committed to 7 days, and I discovered after day 2 or 3 that this kind of magic was happening. And it's really funny because sometimes my critic comes in and I just laugh at the critic and go, you've got no power here because I can do what I like. And the critic goes silent. It's absolutely fantastic place to explore just anything you want. And there's no criticism of it. So yes, morning pages has been a revelation. I just committed to 7. I'm at day 31 at the moment. And all sorts of magic comes out. Now here's the thing. With morning pages, you aren't supposed to read them. You don't read them back. In actual fact, in my case, you couldn't read them back because sometimes there are no words, it's just lines on the page. And that is okay too. So that's probably enough to be said about morning routines today. I think that's it. That's what I use. So if you have a morning routine that's different or anything, or you're bound to one that's different, but if you have a morning routine that you'd like to share, I would love to hear about it. So please, go to the Facebook page and tell me about it there, or reach out to me and tell me about it. I don't mind how you do it. You know, you can always find me. And that is the end of this little short. It's not that short, is it, looking at it? It's probably about 20 minutes by the time we get to this, but it's short enough. If you have anything to add, please do. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it on iTunes, or better still, leave us a comment or something, because that's how we grow this show. Anyway, thank you for your time and attention, and I will catch you later.